Last week, I invited you to join me in an Advent conspiracy where you and I look for ways that we can show the grace and love of God to the community around us, to our neighbors, and perhaps especially to the least of these, the hurting, the lonely, and the needy. Our desired outcome is very simple and is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we draw our hearts near to you, as we come today to ask you to speak to us, we not only want to be hearers of your word, but doers. Lord, we want to respond as you lead us. We want to act when you compel us. We want our hearts to be changed and our minds to be changed and our lives to be changed so that we might be a little bit more like Jesus today than when we were yesterday. And Father, we pray that this Advent conspiracy would not simply be another series of messages and not another emphasis in church, but that it might actually do something to change us, to make this Christmas different, to make us different. And so we ask, Lord, for you to do a miracle in us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we gave out cards that looked like this. Many of you took those and put them to good use. In fact, it's very interesting that we actually gave out all of the cards. We had two remaining at the end of the week. And so we had a whole other batch printed up to give you yet another opportunity to go out and show the love and the grace of God to people around you. The card says just a little something extra to show you that God loves you. And on the back of it, it has information about the church. And if you'll remember, the point was to find something that you could do, and we gave you some hints last week, something that you could do that would show the love and the grace of God to someone here this Christmas time and to give God the glory in doing it all. And some of you have already done that. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but next week as part of our service, if you've got a short, brief little vignette that you'd like to share with us, we want to make that part of the service next week to let you share with your church how you have shown the love and grace of God, not to toot your horn, but to show other people it works. Because sometimes you need to know that there are other people in this with you. And you're not just, oh, am I out here on an island? Am I here doing this by myself? And so next week, again, if you've done something, especially if you've seen some result from it, if you've been able to use those cards in a way, even if you don't know the result, we'd just like to know what's going on and how God has been able to use you in doing this during this Advent conspiracy. And so we're just putting the love of God into action. And we're putting hands and feet to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we want to take it a step further. You see, the Advent conspiracy is not simply about loving people more. It is. It's really a fourfold thing. It's about loving more, but then it goes on. It's about spending less. It's about giving more. It's about worshiping fully. These are the things that the Advent conspiracy is about. These are what we want you to be a part of. We want you to participate in. Now, when we talk about loving more, when we talk about worshiping more fully, we can all get on board with that. But when I start talking about spending less and giving more, then you go, well, Pastor, you have quit preaching and you started meddling. But I want to tell you, if I'm meddling in my own household too. Because I'm challenging us all to consider how Christmas could be different this year. We stated last week that Americans spend $450 billion on Christmas each year. That's an incredible sum of money. If you break that down, it looks like this, $850 to $1,000 on average per family. Now you go, whoa, I don't spend nearly that. Or you're going, wow, I wish I could get away with just spending that. But on decorations and on presents, $850 to $1,000 per family per year. Now, for some families, spending that much is not a huge deal. For others, they don't have the money to do that, and they don't do that. And for others, they don't have the money, and they do it anyway. And they end up paying for it later in more ways than one. But it is as if buying stuff is the true meaning of Christmas. And you and I know that's not the case. A recent headline, though, stated that Sabre's slowing economy was the headline. The savers are slowing the economy. You see, what's happened is perhaps we look less like citizens of the United States and more like consumers in the United States. Nearly 70% of our economy is based on consumer spending. So if we stop spending, the economy naturally slows down, so much to the point where saving money, which you and I were taught to do as children, saving money is now a bad thing. We've got to be out spending money. We're being urged to shop our way out of a recession. I'm not sure that's the wisest thing, and I'm not sure exactly that would be what God would have us to do. One pastor puts it this way: how strange and sad it is that debt and consumerism reach their pinnacle on the morning we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Savior who came to liberate us from these things. The truth is, how we spend our money is part of our Christian witness. Let me let that one sink in for a moment. How we spend our money is part of our Christian witness. It's part of our testimony. The Bible says that no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's easy to be captured by consumerism, swept away in all the stuff of Christmas. But our lifestyles cannot simply mesh with the rest of our culture and be distinct in any way. Our spending habits shouldn't track right along with everyone else's in our culture. Our priorities should be shaped by Christ and not by commercials. We're followers of Jesus. We were never called to be followers of the crowd. Our lives are meant to be different. We're called to be salt. Salt was used as a preservative. Salt was used to make a difference on the meat it was put on. And we as salt are used to make a difference in the world. But this is what Jesus said: if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot. So this Christmas, with this Advent conspiracy, we're taking a stand and we're declaring that we will not lose our saltiness this Christmas. We will shine like stars in the darkness. We will make a difference this Christmas by making our Christmas a little different. So the call to spend less is less about the economy. It's less a statement about finances as it is a statement, a spiritual statement. A statement about our faith. What we're saying is, Jesus is Lord of our finances. Jesus is Lord of our spending. Jesus is Lord of our Christmas list. Jesus is Lord of all. Shouldn't he be? This morning I'd like to convince you by sharing some scriptures, which we've already done, and a few more that which we will do. But I'd like to convince you on the value of spending less. And the first of those is that we can focus on the true meaning of Christmas. It is not that Santa and decorations and gifts are bad things. It's just that they can become for us a distraction and sometimes become for us the main thing. It's not funny, but I often find it challenging to my faith personally, because around this time of year we do hear a lot about the stories of stores that won't say Merry Christmas or schools that won't put up a Christmas tree and those things like that, and we get really worked up about those things, and I can understand that. But I have to ask myself, is God more upset about a Christmas tree being yanked off of the city commons? Or is he more upset when Jesus has to take the back seat in the household of believers? You see, we can get worked up about these things that happen in our culture, but are we adamant that in our homes, in our household, that Christmas will be about Jesus? And we can have these other things. We can have our tree, and we can have our gifts, and we can ho, 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 and we can have the Grinch, and we can have Snoopy, and we can have all those things that go into making it, and you can, on Christmas Eve, you can watch It's a Wonderful Life. You can do all those things, but still keep Christ central to your Christmas. And one of the things this Advent conspiracy is about is helping us to focus on the real meaning of Christmas. It's one of the reasons we light the Advent wreath. It gives us an opportunity to look forward to Christmas and not just Santa coming, but celebrating the coming of the Christ child. We've got to keep Christ central in our own homes. And I will promise you this. If we can keep Christ central in the homes of believers, the millions of believers, it will affect the culture. The second way that there's value to spending less is that we can give time and attention and not just presents. How many times have I heard someone come to me around the third week of December or so and say, "Oh, I will be so glad when Christmas is over." Isn't that sad? I'll be so glad when it's over because, you know, there's so much stress involved in this, the going here and there and the doing this and that, and then there's the gifts. And I feel obligated to give a gift to so-and-so and so-and-so. And am I getting the right thing? Or am I going to get the right thing? You know, all these things go in it. And there's so much spending and there's so much stress involved. Could we have a more sane and perhaps more joyful Christmas if we spent time together, giving more time and attention to one another rather than all of our attention on giving gifts? When it's all said and done, would we rather say about our Christmas that I spent more time with my family than I did at the mall? Isn't it about our families coming together to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas? The third way that spending less and add value to your Christmas is that we're able to give more freely to causes that bless God and others. Now, I have no idea what you spend on gifts and decorations in the course of a year. Most Americans spend hundreds of dollars, as we've already seen. But what if a portion of that were diverted to feeding a hungry child or clothing someone who didn't have adequate clothing, putting a coat on them when it gets cold, to providing clean drinking water in a third world country, or giving to missions so that someone might hear about Jesus and have their eternity changed? The impact of shifting just a few dollars from your budget, shifting a few dollars in your budget, if we as believers would do that together, would come up with tens of millions of dollars that could be used to alleviate suffering and bring people into the kingdom of God. You and I can make a difference. You say, "But Pastor, I don't spend $1,000 on Christmas. If I spend $100, I'm doing well on Christmas." Diverting, whether you're diverting from $1,000 or diverting from $100, the principle is the same. What we're saying is, I want to be freed up to give, to be generous in my giving, not just to my family, but to people in need and to people who need Jesus. I want to be freed up to doing it. And if we live right on the margins, if we spend everything that we get, how can we be freed up to do that? And so as we think about spending less at Christmas, it's not just about saving money. It's about doing things for the kingdom of God. You see, we're blessed so that we can be a blessing. The fourth way that spending less will add value to our Christmas is that we get a greater return on our investment. There are some gifts that you use over and over and over again, but many, many, many gifts that we give and receive end up gathering dust, stuck in a closet, in the attic, or maybe you've got one of these at your house in the junk room, or going to the thrift store or Goodwill, which are all good causes. A gift may wow the recipient on Christmas morning, but what about 3 months from then? What about in July or in October You see, maybe we should stop thinking so much about the impact, the wow impact of the gift, and think more about the meaning of the gift, to give more meaningfully. The fifth way that spending less can add value to our Christmas is that we show ourselves to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us, whether that's a little or a lot. Perhaps the greatest reason that we might choose to spend less this Christmas, the greatest reason for spending less and spending more wisely, is because of our desire to be good stewards of that which God has entrusted to us. Would God be pleased? Would God be pleased with our Christmas lists? Would God be pleased with how we're investing that which He's entrusted to us this Christmas? Ultimately, that's the only question that should matter. Is God pleased with my celebration of Christmas? Is God pleased with my Christmas list? Is God pleased with me amassing this debt here during December that I'm going to have to carry into the rest of the year? Sure, someone may be disappointed that they didn't get this, and they didn't get this, and they didn't get this. And we don't want to carry that guilt around with us. But ultimately, we want to make sure that what we do with what God has given us is what God wants us to do with it. Consider what Jesus said in Luke 16. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? What Jesus is saying here is God is interested in our budgets, in how we spend what we have, in how we use what He has given us. And whether God has given you wealth or whether you barely have your daily bread, you're called to be grateful for what you have, and you're called to use it wisely. Even your spending at Christmas time is a spiritual issue. Perhaps especially at Christmas time, it is a spiritual issue and a part of your witness. Might we consider spending less, not just to save money, but to touch lives, to change hearts, and even to save souls? Now, I want to add here that this is not the most popular sermon I've ever preached. It won't be popular at my house either. And it's going to take a lot of adjusting to get out of a consumer, commercial-driven mindset and to move to a Christ-centered mindset that says, okay, Jesus, here's my list. Let's go over it line by line. Are you happy with this? Is this how you want me spending the money? Is this where you want the money to go? And then doing what He calls us to do. It could be that you divert some of those funds and help a family at Christmas time. There are many of you who do that. Many of our grace groups specifically find a family through whatever channels. There are lots of channels to find those. Perhaps you know of a family. Perhaps you call the church and say, is there a family, a place that we can help? And a grace group can come alongside and together do that to help a family in need. It may be that at this time of year, when you gather your family together at Christmas time, you have your big gatherings, you say, listen, in addition to coming and exchanging our gifts, and there's nothing wrong with that. In addition, as we come to exchange our gifts, why don't we all bring non-perishable food items, cans of soup and cans of green beans and boxes of noodles and things like that. Why don't we bring those things together and collect those so that we can then take those to the food pantry? Or when we come together this Christmas, why don't we all bring baby formula and diapers and just bring those together in our family gathering. That's just part of what we bring. Subtract it from what you're spending on everybody else and just bring that. And then we're going to collect those and we're going to take those to first call. Or, you know, be creative. Think of how you can incorporate this. Don't just go home and go, you know, pick up the phone and go, listen, I know we're supposed to come up there at Christmas time and exchange gifts, but the pastor preached this morning about spending less, and you're out of luck. No, you can still give me what you got me, but you're out of luck. Yeah, baby formula for you. That's right. I'm not saying do that. I'm not saying scrap all your plans, scrap everything that you do, rip down the tree and say, no, we're just going to celebrate a Spartan kind of Christmas. What I'm encouraging you to do is to love more and spend less. Love more and spend less, but do it not just for your pocketbook. Do it for the kingdom. Do it for Christ. For Jesus said, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me.